Blog Talk Radio.
Recruiting Animal here on April 2nd, 2014, after a three-week hiatus. I didn't plan it. Just happened. Sorry. But now I'm back. And you know what I want to talk about today? I want to talk about gibberish. Recruiting gibberish. The stuff I see online. I want to share it with you. Yeah! Let's start off with something I saw a few weeks ago. I have a feeling I might have talked about this already. Anyway, I'll talk about it again. Josh Burson, the famous Josh Burson, was on Talent Culture Radio, and he said that staffing is different from recruiting. So I asked on Twitter, what does that mean? And here's his answer. Quote, staffing is recruiter-centric. Talent acquisition is marketing-based and holistic. Should I say it again? Staffing is recruiter-centric. Talent acquisition is marketing-based and holistic. I have no idea what that means. Maybe I'm stupid. I don't know what it means. If you do, call in and tell me, because I asked him for a follow-up, and you know what? He didn't give me one. Nothing came. He didn't say a word, because you know why? I don't think he knows what it means either, okay? And here's something else I read on the Undercover Recruiter. It's a quote from my good friend, Johnny Campbell. Yeah. He says, quote, sourcing has evolved from people who wanted to find more people to an emerging trend, which is how do you fix candidate engagement? Because that piece of sourcing is differentiating people. I don't know what that means, and believe me, I made it easier to understand by separating some of the phrases. This is nonsense! Lots of people quoted it, but I got to tell you, I don't get it. And I like Johnny. I think he's a great guy. I've met him a few times. Here's another one. I can't remember who said this, but it's real. Trust me. Extreme sourcing is taking a scientific / iterative approach to talent acquisition with the goal of perfecting candidate experience. Extreme sourcing is taking a scientific or iterative approach to talent acquisition with the goal of perfecting candidate experience. It beats me. Any sentence with the word iterative in it, man, it's beyond me. And finally, here's something from my friend Daryl Daly. He said it on Recruiting Blogs, and it's not hard to understand. He said, in the truth of recruiting, the dirty little secret that we all secretly know is that we engage with candidates and give them a warm and fuzzy feeling when we reach out to them. Now, I have a confession to make. I've never given anybody a warm and fuzzy feeling, especially a candidate. In fact, I don't reach out to anybody. You know what? But you know what? What was I going to say? Anyway, don't come to those. Listen. Here's what I want to say. If you need somebody to love you, get a budgie. Don't come to me. Because I hear they're a lot of fun. Anyway, and that's what we're going to have today on Jerry. Jerry, what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show.
He's on vacation in Florida, but he called into the show today because he loves it so much. He's been away for a few weeks, couldn't stand it. Okay, Jerry, let's move right on to our guest, unless you got something special to say. Do you? No? Okay. Frankie Zupan, are you here?
Michael, I'm on the line.
Okay. My name's Recruiting Animal, but you can call me whatever you want. You can call me Timmy. You can
I'll call you iterative.
Yeah, okay, fine. I dare you to do that. You won't get it out of your mouth more than once. Great to see you. Great to have you back. I see you got some new shoes. You're wearing new shoes. Did you buy them for this show?
I did not buy any new shoes or any other apparel or accessories.
Okay, then let me just move on. Can you introduce yourself, or do I have to do it?
You introduce me, Michael. I love the way you introduce your guests.
You know what? I didn't prepare an introduction. You got a fancy title.
I'll
Director
introduce
of
myself, Michael. I told you I would, so I will live up to my end of the bargain. I am the head of talent acquisition for a U.S.-based manufacturer and distributor of residential construction products. So residential construction products that we make are siding and windows.
Hey, you know
we
what?
Make
that's irrelevant. Okay, I don't care what you make. I just want your title.
Yeah,
that's enough, okay?
Okay, that's enough then. Let's move on to the really good stuff.
Okay, well, you got married recently, didn't you?
I did. I got married on October 5th of this past year to Tammy Colson.
Okay. Did anyone cry at your wedding?
I think there may have been a few tears.
Your wife's parents, that's the answer. Your wife's parents, let's move on. Something's going wrong. We're just not getting it. It was just a setup, actually, for the song. We're going to dedicate a song to your wife, fabulous Tammy Colson. Are you ready? I sent you the lyrics yesterday, okay?
I'm ready.
Okay, so we're going to sing the chorus for How Sweet It Is, right? Okay?
We have to sing? I thought you were playing this in a recorded.
No, I didn't do that, okay. So, but we're going to sing it instead, okay? One, two, three. I just want to stop.
Stop. Thank you, baby.
You, Tammy.
Baby.
I just want to stop.
It is. Tammy.
Thank
yes,
you, baby. How sweet
sugar
it
sometimes.
Is to be loved by you. I love you, Tammy Colson. Yeah. How sweet it is to be loved by you. It's just like sugar sometimes. How come I'm singing it and you're not? She's your wife, okay? Listen, do you ever go to conferences?
I do go to conferences.
And do people run after you and treat you like a celebrity, or do you just kind of fade into the woodwork?
I just kind of fade into the woodwork, I think.
Oh, really? Nobody thinks you're, you know, a celebrity and asks for your autograph or advice or anything
No. Probably because I don't have a blog or spend a lot of time kind of building a conference schedule or a conference persona.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
and that's
I think everybody knows
business.
You. But listen, since they don't take advantage of you when they've got you right there, let's do that now. Before I ask my questions, let me ask you, are there any hot tips for recruiters? Something that, you know, is burning you up that you say, boy, I wish everybody knew this.
I wish everybody knew that you can't make hires through Twitter.
Okay, how many hires did you make through Twitter last year?
I made no hires through Twitter last year.
And what about Facebook?
Nope, that's a zero too. But I have to admit that I really didn't try to hire anybody through Twitter or Facebook last year.
The famous Glenn Cathy said anybody can make hires on Twitter. It's really easy. But my good friend Rob Dromgoole gave out the goods. It's you can get like 2 or 3% of your hires apparently from Twitter if you try hard. Okay, so you know there was a big discussion on Facebook this morning about bad cover letters. If you got a cover letter written by a foreign national, he's working in IT and living in the U.S., and it's really badly written, would that turn you off the person?
If it was really poorly written, it depends on how large a piece communication skills played into the job. So if I have an engineering job and communication skills aren't a big, big piece of the job, it may not be a negative. If I need somebody that's going to go and conduct meetings on a daily basis and lead
certain
things.
Okay, first of
all,
this is a written communication. I commented that I have a friend who can speak English fairly well, but when I saw his resume and cover letter, which he sent to me to, you know, proofread, it was terrible. So I was surprised because his spoken English is pretty good. So this is an IT person. You gave the answer. You wouldn't care. You wouldn't care what their written communications were like as long as they did the job and they didn't have to use that skill in everyday life. And in many, many positions they don't. So that's the answer, everybody, from the great Frank Zupan. It doesn't matter if you can't write English properly. If that's not a part of the job, don't worry about it. Push that person to the hiring manager. Frank, if you had a hiring manager, if you were a recruiter, a third-party recruiter, or even a corporate recruiter, internal, the hiring manager says, I won't hire this person because of his lousy cover letter. Look at the writing in that. It's broken English. You know, what should I say to him or her when you've just told me that isn't always relevant?
Right. So I should say to that hiring manager, I would say to that hiring manager, let's review the criteria that we're using to evaluate and select our candidates here. Because if written communications is higher on the list than I thought it should be, let's move it up the list.
Okay, and let's say the hiring manager, you know, really didn't want to budge, and you've already shown him or her that they're being unreasonable. What would you do?
I just hire the
person. You know what? Wait a second. If somebody's doing business while they're listening to the show, have a brain in your head. You can't do them both on the same phone, okay? Oh, go ahead, Frank.
Thank you.
Hey, Frank.
Hi, Jerry.
How's it going, buddy?
It's going good. How are you?
Animal cut me off earlier. He knew that you might be overwhelmed by my presence, so he cut me off for the first 5 minutes. And I understand. I didn't want to blow your show. It's important.
I didn't cut you off. I should have cut you off a million times, and I've never cut you off before, so why would I cut you off now, okay?
You are an intimidating persona, Jerry.
Is
there anything you want to say about Frank that I didn't let you say before?
Oh, so many things. Yes, what was the question again before Jerry interrupted us?
No, okay. Well, I was giving Jerry a chance to, you know,
I'm missing the drink.
You've got an irrational hiring manager. You've already saying, listen, Miss Hiring Manager, you know, let's take a look at the qualifications for the job. Written skills are not that important. And they said, Joe, I just can't hire anybody who can't write English. What do you do then?
Then you move up written communication skills in the priority of what you're looking for.
Yeah, but you yourself, as a recruiter, you're busting your ass.
You're supposed to argue with them like Animal does.
Yes, you are!
That's what
you're supposed to do!
Right. That's what they do in Canada. They don't refine what they're doing. They just badger somebody into a corner and hopefully wear them out through force.
What's your alternative? You're busting your ass to find a good person. You found someone you know you can do the job. Okay, they can't speak, you know, write English properly. Who cares? It's not really that required. And you've got a gatekeeper to that job who, for some reason, thinks, yeah, they have to write like Shakespeare. That's not true. You got to tell them that. What do? Do you go over their head, Frank? Is that an option?
No, that's the last option, and I don't think that's ever a good one to go over the hiring manager's head. So maybe this candidate just wrote a bad cover letter. If you go back to the candidate, if you think they're worthwhile, and you go back to the candidate and ask them for a written project sample or something other than that cover letter upon which they're being evaluated, that might be a solution.
Yeah,
and take that back
to
the hiring manager.
This is a real endorsement for Animal. Yeah, go ahead.
My question is, why do you assume that there are many jobs that don't require the ability to write? Don't most jobs in some form
have
reading and writing involved?
Hey, you know what? There was a big discussion about it on Facebook, and people who know about IT jobs said it's really not necessary for a lot of these jobs to be able to write a good letter. Coding has nothing to do with writing a letter like that. Now here's an endorsement for resume writers. You know, get a resume writer to write that letter for you. It makes it look like you can write English. No one's ever going to test you for it, you know, if it doesn't become a red flag to start off with.
So then you hire based on a criteria or a product that wasn't even generated by the candidate.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Good idea,
Animal. How do you, as a corporate recruiting manager, corporate recruiting executive, how do you like recruiters to introduce themselves to you? I think I asked you this before. I didn't go back to your original appearance here, but this is a question. If somebody like Jerry or, I don't know, any other third-party recruiter is giving you a call, how do you like them to introduce themselves to you? A total stranger, someone you don't know from Twitter, okay? And how will they introduce themselves to you in a way that you're going to give them a job order?
Email introduction and some specific connection to my business or my network, whether it's a referral. I know Michael in Canada, and he said I should call you or contact you, or I know something about your business because I've supported a similar business in another state, in another country, and it may be beneficial for us to have a discussion.
No, you know,
that's
Frank, it's
got
to be a first time I work in your business. Just, it doesn't mean that much if I've, you know, done searches in whatever, a building materials or whatever it is you handle before. It really doesn't necessarily mean that much. Why are you insisting on
that? That is a ridiculous statement.
It might mean that much to me. It might not mean that
Why?
Much to you. You're trying to sell the service. If I'm the buyer,
yeah,
I decide
my,
what's important
service,
to me.
Especially if it's a contingent service. You don't have to pay me unless I actually, you know, give you somebody you like. You know, there's nothing to lose. Why not say, sure, this is what I'm looking for?
There's a cost involved, Animal. You're paying them in time and educating them about your company, and there, it does cost you. Are you saying time is not money? Is that now a new statement for the Animal Show? Time is free? Gosh.
Jerry, you have never moved into a new area before. You've never, you know, met somebody and say, look, I haven't worked in your industry. I haven't worked on those positions that you're trying to fill right now, but I can do it for you. Give me a shot.
Not that often, no. Usually I'm
but
busy.
Not that often, but you've done it. Is that what you're saying? You don't want to admit it, but you know, you've done it, and you think you can do a good job.
No, the topic isn't what have I done to make sure I stay in business. The topic is you telling Frank that it doesn't cost you anything to work with some numbnut who doesn't know a thing about your industry.
Look, does anybody?
That's
there's a
the
lot
topic.
Of people
don't
on the line.
The
does anybody else
me.
Want to comment? Does anybody else want to comment? I don't think it makes sense for Frank to say, "Oh, you got to prove that I've worked in your field before." Okay, Frank,
no,
I've
he didn't
say
that. He also said you could have some connection. You could know some guy in Canada that knows me. He just wants some kind of connection. Anything
Why?
To separate.
Why? Why? He knows this guy in Canada.
Because he's a customer,
oh,
and that's
deal.
What he wants, man.
It's sets a level of interest in actually pursuing and acquiring the business, Animal,
okay.
To answer your question. So it draws some connection as to why I should further or follow up on the communication.
You're wrong, Frank. Anybody here want to comment on that before I move on? I think it's an important issue. Anybody here? There's about 10 people on. Nobody wants to say anything. And maybe on Twitter they're saying something. I can't focus on two things at once. It's a limitation I have. Okay.
I have the same limitation, by the way.
Okay, good for you. Okay, now, now, if you were a third-party recruiter, okay, I think you were at one time, weren't you?
No.
No, never? Okay, so a third-party, would you rather be approached directly by phone or, as you said before, do you like an email in advance?
Email.
Why?
Have you ever had any interesting voicemail marketing calls from any other recruiters that leave a compelling reason for you to call them back and do business with them?
Wow, none jump out as far as leaving compelling voice messages as to why I should return the call. I think some jump out as far as compelling reasons why I shouldn't. Threatening to steal people from the company unless I call them back and give them a job order or something like
no
that.
Way.
Yeah, I've had those, yeah.
They seriously would threaten to steal people from your company if you don't call back and give them business?
Well, and they even left it in a recording with their name associated with it, which is interesting.
Wow.
Well, I mean, that's a respected technique. You're either a source company or you're a client, one or the other.
Are you?
You make the choice, buddy.
That's a respected technique? Are you kidding, Animal?
Yeah, technique. I'm not kidding. I've never heard of it left on a voicemail, but that is a technique. That's a selling technique. Okay? I've read about it. I've heard it said. Anything else?
Have you used it?
No.
Would you say that to a customer?
No, I wouldn't. No, okay?
Have you ever had anyone on your show that would say that to a customer?
I don't know, but I think I've seen. Next time I see it, I'll point it out to you. Okay.
I think that should be a new litmus test when you have third-party guests on, to ask them that as the entry question.
Let's pick it up. Look, your wife is listening to the show. I know she's listening. You want to impress her, okay? This is an opportunity.
Hi, Tammy.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. How do non-technical recruiters assess technical people? Like, you know, if you don't have the same technical background as the candidate, how can you really tell if they're a good fit or not?
There are limitations there. So the recruiter can only screen so far as the evaluation process, or only carry the evaluation process so far, and then they have to turn it over to the hiring management team. And that's where that initial list of criteria that the hiring manager is really looking for plays in, because if written communication skills is at the top of the list, well, the recruiter can assess for that, and then coding skills fall further down. But that's really important to understand up front in a job, particularly,
I think, in the corporate recruiting world. Jeff Webb had an unconference here in Toronto a few months ago. I was there, and one of
an
the sessions...
Unconference? What's that?
Oh, forget about it. It's a little loosely structured conference, okay? So anyway, I asked... rate ourselves on a scale of 1 to 5 as recruiters, okay? And only one guy rated himself a 5. And I said, why are you a 5? He said, because I am an accountant and I'm recruiting financial people. He said, if they tell me what they do, I really understand it, and I can go back to my client and present them, fully screened. So that person is a 5. How would you rate people? In order to be a 5, would they have to have come from the same profession as the people they're recruiting?
No.
It was 1 to 5 was the score, by the way. Sorry about that. So,
why
no,
not
you
1
think
to 10?
Not, well, anyway, it was 1 to 5. So,
I hate 1 to 5.
No, I don't think a great recruiter has to be from the profession they're recruiting to fill jobs in. No, to answer your question, I just don't think that that's the case.
Me either. What makes someone a five, then?
If it's not that, what makes them a 5?
What makes a great recruiter a 5 on a scale of 1 to 5?
Yeah.
I think a proven and measured ability to develop and deliver the recruiting product.
Okay, let's leave that. It's good. Okay. Yesterday Sandra said on Facebook, this is how her cold call, when she's calling a candidate, she says, I state my name, the reason for my call, and I ask the person on the other end if this is a good time to speak for a few minutes. I briefly mention the job before I start asking them how much money it would take to interest them in a new position. Do you think that's a good cold call? I do.
I think for certain demographics, that's absolutely a good cold call. It's very
straight
to the point.
Which demographics?
I think probably
less. Because
this was your reply.
Right. You said, do we approach executive and senior management candidates with the same spiel as project managers? This discussion seems to be focused on a one-size-fits-all answer, which may only work in some parts of Canada. So what do you think, who do you think her cold call is good for?
I think it's good for typically somebody under the executive or senior management realm.
Uh-huh.
And I think Sandra even followed up in that same discussion and agreed and said, yes, I would use a different communication with an executive. It would be a different approach and a different discussion topic.
How would you want someone to approach you? If I wanted to recruit you tomorrow, what do I have to do to get you to listen to me? What would you want to hear from me?
Send me an interesting email.
Okay, yeah, you don't know. That's why you just say, geez, you know what? I haven't given it much thought. I don't know. Okay. Now,
I like how Animal just discredits any answers he doesn't like.
He doesn't know! Why should I waste time on that? Okay?
No, Frank, that would not work for you.
I'll move to a topic that Jerry's going to be interested in. He told us that he had an HR control monkey, a new person.
Oh, my goodness.
A new person a new person came into his relationship, to company, a client of his, and started setting herself up between him and the hiring manager who he already had a good relationship with, okay? And so this monkey starts saying, oh, no, you can't deal with the hiring manager directly. You have to deal with me. What would you do about that?
And this
that,
was
Frank?
After, though. Keep in mind, this was after he said, yeah, go ahead and give him a call, talk to him, get the details, and figure out what we're looking for. Okay, so this was after that. He didn't just jump in there and say, stop talking to anybody. He's like, yeah, go ahead. Then later on, he said, hey, he doesn't want to be bothered by you or something like that.
Which was a lie, right?
I don't know. Maybe the man.
You know what?
Hey.
You know this guy Jerry Albright is a master of changing his story. You know, he'll come out slamming it away at some idea, and when I ask him about it, it changes. Forget it. Okay.
Can I just say that there are account management issues at play there that maybe we need to dive into a little bit deeper. Jerry, do you want to give us some names and specifics around that customer so that we can help him rebuild?
Frank, don't dodge a question. Don't dodge. You got your wife is listening. Be a man. Be a man. Answer
the
questions. Tell us something. Hey, you know, somebody's listening to the show with their speakers on. Somebody's listening to the show with their speakers on. I hear an echo. Turn off your speakers if you're on the phone. Have a brain in your head. Okay.
Here's the thing is people change at companies all the time. Hiring managers change. Hiring managers' bosses change. HR people change all the time. That is just an ongoing relationship management challenge. And if somebody comes in with a new set of rules, you either figure out how to play by the rules, dodge the rules, or go play a different game. That's it.
You can't sway them. There's no argument that you could use and say, look, honey, I've been dealing with this guy for 3 years already. We've got a good relationship. We're doing good business together. Why do you want to get involved, okay? Why don't you just sit back and take a relax, do something else, let me manage it just as well as I've been doing for the last few years.
Once again, Animal, you're always ready to just argue with somebody. All I can do with this guy is to provide the service that he's expecting me to do, the way that works best for him, and eventually bring him around to being my buddy. That's all I can do.
Mm-hmm.
Any backing him into a corner is only going to ruin my shot, you know, with however long this guy's going to be there.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. So, Jerry, you choose play by the rules as your solution with that client, right?
Yeah, you got to start. Yes. I mean,
okay.
It's not even a question.
Well, no, it is a question because you've got a business choice to make as a service provider. You can play by the rules, you can figure out how to circumvent or bend the rules, or you can go play a different game, right?
Right, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. In this
one
case, I chose to
games.
Play by the rules. You know, I mean, sometimes I don't. I'm like, well, yeah, that's not going to work for me. Because
you can always fire your client.
Recruiters
okay,
have
let's
style,
move on.
You know,
let's
you're
move
not...
on. You're boring me. Look, if you're boring me, you're boring my audience, okay? Now, here's another question, okay? let's say you're a recruiter, and you take your candidate to the hiring manager, and the hiring manager, you know, doesn't give you any details about why she doesn't like the candidate. She just says, not a match. Go find somebody else. What do you do, Frank?
You expect more detail in the answer than that. And you can, I know from corporate recruiting, we can set up standards where we expect better feedback than that.
What does that mean, we can set up standards where we expect? Who do they go to? They go over the hiring manager's head and say, look, this guy is totally whimsical and capricious, doesn't tell me exactly, you know.
That is your
help.
Favorite place to be, isn't it, Animal?
Once again, Animal, you pull out the nuclear option right out of the gate of going over somebody's head, and that's really not what you have to do. You have to be able to have an intelligent discussion with the hiring manager.
You're dealing with an idiot to begin with. Yeah, it's not a match. Go find somebody else. What do you need? Just, you know, it's not the person for me. What do you do with somebody like that, a blockhead?
I require more information in order
to find candidates.
How
do you get it, Frank? Should I say it again? How do you get
by
it?
By having
what do you do
an
exactly?
intelligent discussion with the hiring manager.
Okay,
what do you
I
say?
On?
What do
am
you
I
say?
On?
Yeah, you're on.
I'm trying to
what,
mute
what
my
you,
mic.
What do you say, Frank? What do you say? Don't speak in generalities on this show, okay?
You say, in order to find the person that's going to fill this job successfully, I need more information to go out into the market and find that person.
This is actually too tame. Daryl Diocio is saying that I'm going too easy on you. Maybe because Jerry takes your side every time, okay? Maybe that's why. It is tame. You're right. You're right. He won't
imagine
answer the
that.
Questions
two successful
correctly.
People
He's too
agree
corporate.
On something.
He's too corporate. That's the problem. Okay. Maybe
two
I wish I had somebody
agree
read the
on
Twitter.
Something.
You know what? There's better action happening on Twitter than there is on the show. I don't know why. Maureen abandoned me. She used to read the Twitter stuff for me. I
Twitter.
Can't do those two things at one time.
Is it just us? Are we the only two people calling your show here?
No,
I think
no.
We
there's,
may be.
There's lots of people here. They don't want
to
talk. They don't
you
want
to
talk,
to
but the guys on Twitter, they're talking
talk.
Plenty, and they're saying it's boring. They're saying it's boring. Frank, help me. Save me. Okay? I'm losing
save
the real, the
yourself?
Regulars, my core. My core
your
audience.
Your core constituency is abandoning you.
Yeah,
there's
only
you
about six of them.
On.
There's only about six. I can't it's afford
been,
to lose them, okay?
It's on me to retain them.
What
now,
about blind referrals? What about blind referrals?
People know I was going to be on vacation this week. They've seen my big fish pictures and stuff like that. And
that was an impressive
show
fish, Jerry.
Okay.
So,
what about blind? Frank,
I,
what about blind referrals? What about blind referrals? You got reference checks, rather. You got a candidate. Your client is interested in the person. You get a bunch of names from, or a few names that you can check, you know, do reference checks with. But what about if you say, okay, I'm going to call somebody else in that company who I saw on LinkedIn or I know myself is there. Can you do that? Can you call people for reference checks that were not given to you by the candidate?
Well, you can do it, but I don't think it's an advisable practice at all. I don't
Why not?
Like it. Because I don't think it's part of the information that the candidate has given you in good faith about their credentials.
Is that
so
your buddy Jerry making all that noise with the
Yes,
there?
It is. He's having a conversation with his kids.
Yeah. Okay.
I think
why
it's
hey,
I'm trying to manage this. I'm trying to figure out how to mute this thing. Is this
yeah,
hello?
Maybe you shouldn't be on the show while you're on vacation, eh? Okay.
Thanks for calling
maybe I
in,
should,
Jerry.
Maybe
I
should
appreciate
drop the number
your
of callers
here.
In half by hanging up. I'm trying to save this thing, man. Don't hassle me. Otherwise, it's just you and Frank talking to each other. Is that
you
the
know
kind
what?
Of show that sells advertisement? No.
Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of show that sells advertising. There's no kind of show that sells advertising, okay? Now, blind reference checks, why aren't they good? Are they dangerous? Are they, you know, the word's going to get out that, hey, you know, the recruiter called me that Joe Schmo was looking for a job, and then he tells all his friends. Is that?
That can happen.
Can you handle Jerry for me? He's wrecking the show for real with noise problems. Okay, why can't I do a blind reference check?
I didn't say you can't do it. I said I don't recommend doing it. I don't
why not?
Want it as a part of my process.
Why not?
Because I told you why. It's not a part of the information that the candidate has provided to
so
you
what?
In good faith.
So what?
Well, so what? You can say so what, and I can respect the information that I've shared with the candidate.
What do you mean?
You can always say so what, Animal, to an answer. I mean, that's the easy way out,
look,
or
you
can defend your side of the argument.
I saw a lecture on a webinar, and the person making the presentation said the best predictions of future performance come from reference checks with people who've worked with this candidate before. So if you can see somebody that you haven't been given by the candidate, who probably knows something about them, you've seen them online or you've heard about them or you know them, you know, why can't you give them a call and say, look, is it just the issue that the fact they're looking might leak? To me, that seems like the only issue, and it's a serious one. Is that the only issue, or are there other issues? Don't make me drag this out. What do you think is killing my audience when it takes me 5 minutes to get an answer to a simple question?
So how about if you call the candidate and say, I plan on calling or contacting these other individuals to verify your background? Why don't you do it that way? Why don't you tell the candidate you're about to call more people than the names they've provided on their references?
Well, they might have irrational fears about it.
Legally, are you obligated to tell somebody that you're going to call your own references?
No. No, not to my knowledge. I'm not a lawyer. I do play one on the Animal Show, but I don't think there's any legal obligation there.
Okay. What if you're a third-party recruiter and you place somebody at a company and then you go and visit them? This is what Blake Cannon endorsed Jerry, saying you have to visit your placements, okay? So what if you go and visit them and you take a box of cupcakes and that person shares them with everybody, you know, these fancy cupcakes, shares them with everybody in the office. So everybody gets to know you. And all of a sudden, you start getting calls from people in that company. You say, you know what, I'm ready to move. You know, do you have anything for me? Or would you, you know, put me in your files as somebody you'd like to call? So that's your client company. The associates or the coworkers of the person you just placed there, they're calling you to say they want to make a move. Can the third-party recruiter, in all good faith and trust with his client, deal with those people, place them elsewhere?
I don't think they should, no.
Why not?
Who would? Jeez.
Because I think it violates a business arrangement that's been made between a buyer and a seller, being the third-party recruiter and the company that's paying an invoice for a placement. If there's not a specific non-solicitation clause in the agreement, there should be one. And I know we put non-solicitation clauses in our agreements that require any third-party recruiter to basically be hands-off for a period of time following their recent placement.
How long?
1 year. 1 year.
Okay. So they won't touch any of the people in your company for a year after one placement. Is that right?
They're not supposed to. I can't dictate what they will and will not do. I can only try to protect the company.
So the recruiter then gets to freely recruit somebody at month 13 and say, well, hey, it's cool. We only agreed to not.
You know what? There's people that
on
there. First of all, Frank knows that's real because he commented on it on a Facebook group. Okay.
Well, I know it's real. I realize.
Okay.
It's real.
Secondly,
stupid.
There's been recruiters on this show who say this recruiter that we're talking about, she said she'll only handle them if they come to her. She won't make calls into her client company to recruit people. But
That sure sets a high mark, doesn't it?
Okay. There's people we like who've been on this show, and they say, look, if I place somebody in company X and after 5 years, you know, she wants to leave, if she calls me up to place her somewhere else, sure, why not? She's on her way out. Why should she go to another recruiter?
I think that depends on the business relationship that exists at the time. Now you're talking about a 5-year period of time.
Yeah.
If you haven't done any business with that client in the interceding 5 years, do I think that that's normal or a standard part of business? Yes, it is.
Well, but the thing is, you're actually dealing with the candidate you placed there. It's a different twist, right? You're pulling out the candidate that you put in.
And you're also talking about 5 years, and you're talking about conditions that you haven't explained.
Okay, so that's okay with you. No, I just want – that's okay with you because of the time spent, or the amount of time
spent,
the person's been
there.
And
is there any other business – underway or more recent? I think those are key factors.
There's a guy in England named Andy Groves. He's the head of talent acquisition at HIBU, H-I-B-U. And I saw he was quoted on an article about how LinkedIn affected recruiting. He said essentially that it made sourcing easy. So this is his quote: more and more in-house teams will realize they don't need agencies because of LinkedIn. Is that true?
I think in their market, yes. In the Brit market, which is more heavily dependent on third-party recruiting for day-to-day, you know, job filling, there's a higher percentage of jobs filled in the UK through third-party than there is here in the States or in Canada.
No, we're losing people. We're losing people.
Boy,
they're
dropping like
flies.
Oh, yeah. Brutal.
I'm sorry. You know what? Actually, I think it's a good show because I'm raising real-life issues with a director of corporate recruiting, and he's giving answers after 10 minutes. I do get kind of an answer out of him, right?
Which then discredit immediately. Yeah, I don't think you've liked any of Frank's answers.
It didn't matter whether I liked them. I heard them. At least he gives an answer. That's all I want. Okay? What do you think about this, Frank? Okay? Rayanne, I saw her on a tweet, said, good recruiters know within seconds if they will not hire somebody.
I don't know that that's a gauge of good recruiting or bad recruiting. I know that a lot of hiring managers and recruiters make the assessment of a no hire within the first 10 seconds.
And I think
really?
That is way too soon, and I'm tired of these snap judgments. Speed in ruling somebody out is not any kind of a skill set I'm looking for. You need to give somebody enough time to review their situation, their background. I don't like the whole speed in rejecting somebody. Back to you, Animal.
Well, it goes to,
are you one of those people,
whether
Frank?
You're making it goes to whether you're making a decision on intuition or on actual facts based on performance from the candidate. Because that intuition is all you can build in the first 10 seconds. Facts based on performance of the candidate, that takes a hell of a lot more than 10 seconds.
What do you do?
Man, now that is a fantastic answer.
What do you do?
Would you agree, Animal?
No.
We probably
do,
just
Frank?
Lost two more
no.
callers with it.
What do you do, Frank?
What do I do for what?
How do you assess people? Within seconds, are you a good recruiter, according to Rayanne? That within seconds, you know if you're going to hire that person. We're assuming you've seen the resume already. You know their professional background.
Can anyone ask, has she ever recruited?
Yes, she has.
When?
She recruited for startups. She was a startup recruiter.
When?
Sometime ago.
A decade ago?
I don't know when. But look, it
I
doesn't
mean,
really matter whether she's been a recruiter or not.
Speed
we're
and
talking,
ruling people out is a virtue,
you know what? See,
and she hasn't recruited
in a decade. You're an ad hominem person, Jerry. It doesn't matter whether she recruited people or not. We're talking about this statement, which she's not the only person who's ever said that, right?
What does
no,
ad
she's
hominem
not.
Mean?
She's not. And that's typically why standard interviewing techniques or processes are put in place, is to try to move away from that intuitive hire. Oh, I know in 10 seconds whether I'm going to hire the person
so
or not.
So you think that's bad? You think that's bad? Look, Tammy, do you have to fight with the guy to get a straight answer out of him? Maybe that's what you like. That's why you married him. I don't like it. I want a straight answer. No, I don't do that recruiting animal because, you know, sometimes I don't like somebody, but you know what? They can do the job, and I don't care if I don't like them. I want to test their performance. Jerry says you can figure out their performance. I think Frank just said it too, if you have a longer interview. How do you do that, Frank?
How do I do a longer interview?
No, how do you figure out if they've got what you need?
Typically,
aside from the checklist.
Using behavioral-based questions.
Uh-huh.
And I know that that was one of the topics that we wanted to cover on today,
let's
talk
right
about
now.
That.
Let's do it right now. What are your favorite behavioral questions?
Give me an example of your most successful project at your last place of work. So
can you tell us a story about that?
It requires an individual to define a project. It requires them to give background about what the project looked like, how it came together, what the deliverables were, what types of pressures from the business were or were not on the project, all types of different things that you find out about how the person performs with a specific work-related scenario.
Let's move on. Back in 2012. Back in 2012, Jason Alba said, Jerry Albright is a big name in the recruiting world. And then he quoted Jerry. He said, this was really profound. That's what he said. Those were his words. And this is what Jerry, he quoted Jerry. I'll give LinkedIn 3 more years, tops. They've taken a product the recruiting world built for them, and they're slowly cutting out the very people who made it happen. That was in 2012. It's now 2012. It's now 2014. What do you think about Jerry's statement?
Oh, I don't think that prediction's accurate, but I think LinkedIn is changing to more of a content channel than a pure recruiting kind of a base, which is how it grew up. I mean, it grew up by adding a lot of profiles and getting recruiters' eyeballs on those profiles. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. It was easy. It's a centralized place. And by the way, there's no competitor to it. So it's in a pretty nice spot. But they're changing their model to create more of a content channel because their big problem is how long people spend on the site day in and day out. They don't have enough eyeballs to sell the big advertising dollars that Google's and Yahoo's and those guys do because people spend more time on those other sites. And Facebook, by the way, compare their ad rate.
So you know what? We're running out of time. Now we're going to come to the questions that you told, because I have a lot of questions. You know that. But we're going to come to the issues that you wanted to discuss. I think one of them was the social recruiting myth. Did we handle that already?
I think we did when I said I didn't hire anybody off LinkedIn or off of Twitter or Facebook or anything like that.
Okay. Now, in corporate recruiting, you said the big game changer is not the vast array of tools and apps found for recruiting these days, right?
That's correct.
Now you told me, okay. So what is the big game changer or the big deal in corporate recruiting right now, or is there none?
It's process improvement. It's actually pulling apart the corporate recruiting process and finding out where your waste and where your breakage is.
Give us one example. Give us a real example. Remember at the beginning of the show, I know there's nobody listening now who was here except you and me and Jerry. But
is Jerry still on?
I don't know.
Hey,
but
here's an update.
Remember,
my third drink since the show started.
Remember, I quoted, I gave you all those gibberish, recruiting gibberish quotations. Don't do that to me. I know you're a corporate guy, but don't give me that. Tell me about a time how you improved the recruiting process, specifically a concrete story, okay?
Okay, a specific way of improving the recruiting process is when we look at typical, maybe we have a phone screen.
No. I want to know not when you, I want to know a real story from your life.
A story from my life, like I actually recruited somebody?
No, like you changed
no,
or
kidding.
Improved the process. You're the
right.
boss, okay?
He was getting there, dude.
One way was here. When I got here, my job required me to phone screen a lot of candidates. And I have to be able to transmit the notes of those phone screens to the hiring managers with the resumes, right? Most recruiters do that, correct? How much time do we spend doing that? I got a nice big whiteboard in my office. When I'm phone screening a candidate, I take all my notes on the whiteboard as I'm talking to the candidate. I take a picture of the whiteboard. I email it with the resume to the hiring manager. No transcribing, no cleanup, no nothing. Takes a lot of time out of the process. That's a specific example.
Got another one like that? Another story? How you improved?
Oh, that one exhausted me.
That was a good one. It had imagery. It had everything. I loved it. Let it go, man. That was a good one.
Okay.
At least someone appreciates the effort I put into that one.
Yeah.
Can you tell I'm getting crocked over here?
You mentioned to me.
To dominate the conversation.
You mentioned to me three things, reducing work in progress, Kaizen for recruiting, and using the correct metrics to build your internal team. What are those?
So reducing work in process, how much time is a recruiter spending on candidates that have a low probability of hire? So if all of our candidates that we're currently working with are considered work in progress, if we are able to look at that and determine how much time that we spend on the candidates that have a low probability and spend less time on those candidates, we will thus have more time to spend on the candidates that have a higher probability of filling a job.
So how do you get rid of the low probability? How do you get rid of the low probability candidates?
One, you become better at identifying them and not pulling them into the process, possibly. Another is validation that these people are not going to make a good hire for your company.
How do you do
that? That's how you get rid of low probability candidates.
How do you do that?
That makes sense to me, Frank.
What?
That makes sense to me. I said that makes sense to me.
Yeah, how do you
all
do
right?
it? I mean, one, you said, okay, you get more
it.
Information so you can knock out people when you look at the resume. How do you get rid of some? You phone them
First
up.
First of all, you tell only qualified people to apply. Okay, so that knocks out most of them right there.
Well,
right?
I want to know how Frank did it, not how Jerry did it. Okay, Frank, how did you do it?
How did I do what?
Reduce the work in progress by getting rid of time or reducing time spent on unqualified or lesser qualified people.
One of the ways I did that was the tool that we use here for our applicant tracking system, Smart Recruiters, gives us a very quick look and a very quick evaluation process and tag for our candidates, so we're able
Three
to...
Three Stooges in the background there. I feel
I
like
think
I'm like
is.
Three Stooges.
I think
me,
it is.
On the ice machine.
I don't want to be held accountable for the audience fall off on this. I'm going to put this one straight on Jerry. As of
we
this
started
minute,
with no audience.
As
okay,
of
what
12:50 p.m., Michael,
you know what?
It's on Jerry.
I didn't
Jerry.
Leave enough time for your questions to have to pull them out of you like a dentist. Kaizens for recruiting. What does that mean?
Kaizens are using lean process, Six Sigma process, to pull apart your recruiting process or really any other process that exists in your business and identify where some of the waste is and how to improve it. And
Help,
I
story.
Think companies are
story.
Getting better
story.
At
story.
Managing
story.
Their recruiting process by
story.
Doing that.
Story.
We have not done a full Kaizen here, so I can't give you a direct. I think Dwayne Lay can give you a lot better look at Kaizens within HR and within recruiting than I can.
Okay. Your other one was using metrics. How do you do it with using metrics? How do you improve your recruiting process with metrics?
Using the correct metrics is an important distinction of you go into a lot of, organizations and the first metric they want to talk about is time to fill. And time to fill may not be applicable to what the primary business need is. The primary business need might be, I need the very best coders or programmers in my entire metro area because I have to have them. So time to fill isn't a business driver. And yet, if you have a standard application of we're recruiters and we only measure time to fill, you're missing the business point.
Okay,
so
those
you
are
have
only
to
two
have
metrics.
The correct
are there any
metric.
Other relevant ones?
I think cost per hire is a very relevant metric. I think quality of hire is a very relevant metric. And I'm starting to do some work right now on measurement of quality of hire. So go back to the hiring manager 90 days after someone starts and ask that hiring manager, is this still the number one candidate in your mind? The person you hired, are they still number one? Or have you rethought your evaluation process?
What is the number one source for the best people at that 90-day mark, Frank?
Employee referrals.
Okay.
Oh. And if you're a third-party recruiter and you call up your client and say, look, it's 90 days have gone by, is this candidate that we chose, is he or she still the number one candidate, or have you changed your mind about their quality? And if they say, I'm not so happy with that person, what should the third-party recruiter do?
That's a difficult one for me to answer, and having not been a third-party recruiter, I'm not sure I would approach quality of hire in the same way as a third-party recruiter that I just referenced approaching it as a corporate recruiter. So I think somebody well-versed in third party should think about that and
okay,
answer that
question. But you're
on the
receiving end. Don't you? Wouldn't you like somebody to call up and say, look, are you happy with my business? My services or something I could be doing better?
Sure, that's customer service, but that's a different question than quality of hire. Customer service. Yes, I would like the recruiter to follow up and say, is everything okay over there? Did you get my invoice on time?
No. The key,
the
key of the service is whether you're delivering people who they're happy with long term, and whether
right.
you know that's the question. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now,
so how do you measure that, Jerry?
I'm going back to animals. Saying, what is the key to our service, animal? Can you repeat that again for me? What is the key to our service? Long-term
success. Are you happy with my service? Is there something you'd like me to improve? Is this person you just hired from me 3 months ago, are you happy with them? Is there something
I
done differently?
Sooner than that, though. Yeah, no, I'm following up at about a couple of weeks and then a couple of months into it. I don't just automatically wait 90 days. I want to, first of all, make sure that there were no surprises in the actual guy or gal that showed up to do the work. And that's within the next week or so after they start. That's the key time to call, is right then.
Yeah, well, the question is, what if you get negative feedback from the client? But I don't have time to get your answer about that right now. I got to move on to the final question, okay?
So you're telling me the question you would ask if you had time? And I'm supposed to sit here.
Let's go with what if the person says, Jerry, I'm not happy with your candidate. I hired him, but now I'm not happy. Been here 2 weeks. I don't like him.
I'm going to ask my customer, what would you like to do? And oftentimes they say, well, we're going to give them another month or two and see how that goes. So then you're going to start an active checkup process with them. I just had this 2 months ago.
Yeah, I guess it's a little easier because you're working with contract people. You can just make the contract shorter.
I work with both, dude. Stop pigeonholing me.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jerry. Sorry. Okay, so back to Frank for a second. Thank you, Jerry, for your input there. You said third-party recruiting, disruptive change is coming, right?
Correct.
What kind of disruptive change? Do you remember?
Change to the cost structure and the service delivery model. It hasn't changed in such a long time that by pure evolution, it literally has to change. And I think it's going to be big change. I mean, if we think back, and we're without dating ourselves, if we think back before everybody had a computer on their desk and everything, recruiting basically functioned from a third-party level the same as it does today. The same way.
Maybe because that's a good way.
How many other businesses can say that, though? And there are some others. And you say maybe because that's a good way. Is it good for who?
Okay, what kind
good
of change is
good for the customer or good for the recruiter?
What's coming?
So
what's the change
what
coming?
What are you trying to say, Frank? What needs to change? What's the
money.
Change
the
in the cost structure,
one. What kind of fees should be third-party recruiters be charging now?
What's the relevance to a 25% fee? Where does it come from? Is it because the guy up the street charges that?
How much
what's
do you think
the
they
relevance?
Should be charging? How much
to
should
the cost
they be charging?
Of doing business.
We don't have a lot of time. Cool. How much?
It depends on what my needs are.
What does that mean? You're so dodgy. Come on.
I'm so dodgy. I'm slippery. That's why I'm on the corporate side, Michael. Come on.
Do you think it should be charged on an hourly service?
I think that would be a disruptive, but RPOs have already gone up that way, haven't they?
Yeah, but see, to charge hourly for recruiting, you're getting a lot of a lot of my stuff already took place. We make a placement look easy because we've already done the work. So for me to charge by the hour for the 3 hours it takes to, send a few emails and talk to these couple of people that are qualified, that would make my fee, $1,000. I can't live on that.
Or multiple placement discounts?
Yep.
I'm cool
with that.
You make it look easy.
You said there's a dirty little secret. That was a good question, Jerry, by the way. Jerry, that was a good question. I liked it.
Jerry, that was.
But
thank
you said
you
there's
guys.
There's a dirty little secret of external recruiters. What is that secret?
We already covered on it, and it's going back into the clients and taking people out.
I really don't know anybody who does that. I mean, that's pretty rare.
You just said there were people on the show already that have done it.
Yeah, there's a few people, but it's so rare. It's not a regular practice. Just like,
is it so rare because we rarely talk about it?
I don't know if that's it, but you know what? You used to read lots of recruiting articles about recruiters and say, when a recruiter calls you, watch out because it could be your boss testing you. That's nonsense. How often does that happen?
God.
One in a million times?
You know, I have always wondered if, and Frank, since you're on the show, maybe you could answer this. Maybe you can't. Is there ever an inquisitive desire to know which of your employees, maybe even of your top employees, are actively considering new opportunities? Would that be any benefit to any company?
I think to some degree most hiring managers keep a pulse on that. And
I don't think they could. I'll do that. How?
You see LinkedIn updates or activity on LinkedIn is one way.
Mm-hmm.
And I've known folks that have asked to go out on Monster and see if somebody's resume is posted on Monster or other things like that. So there's some ways that hiring managers will try to use.
But are they interested in knowing, though? I mean, is that a topic? Is that something that companies would like to know, or is that just like secondary information?
I think it's secondary. I don't think it's a top of anybody's list that they want to go out and develop a program or a method to figure that out. I might be wrong. Some other companies might be into that.
So I don't need to hurry up and start my new service of recruiting all of your top people just to let you know what they say when
I
call.
Okay, look, I got a question. It's the end of the show. I got a question. Now, Resume Strategy still seems to be listening to the show. And I want to...
Congratulations.
I want to take her to task because she ridiculed me on Twitter maybe a few years ago when I told a story about how I went out to this company with my partner and, you know, we'd recruited, it was a big retail company, and we'd recruited, three people the year before in retail. And the guy was really nice, the VP of sales. He said, look, these recruiters recruited 50 people in retail last year. Why should I deal with you? And we didn't have it on. We didn't have any, you know, rebuttal for him. And she tweeted that I had a fantastic opportunity to sell at that time, and I blew it. But you told us earlier in the show that if a recruiter comes to you and they don't have a lot of experience in your field, you have no interest in them, and there's nothing they can do to convince
you. That's not what I said. I said they need to make a connection to me, and they need to give me a reason for me to continue the dialogue. That's what I said, whether it's through my network.
What could they possibly say? Frank, I gave it to you. I've never worked in your field, construction materials, but I know how to find people, okay?
You've got to sell whatever you have to sell, man. It's called sales, dude.
Every recruiter knows how to find people. Does that mean I should start doing business with every recruiter?
No, not every recruiter is good at finding people.
Well, every good recruiter is. So now we've narrowed it down. I should do business with every good recruiter because they know how to find people?
Yeah, why not?
Because
hey,
I want
listening? Who's got the speakers on there?
Not
because I want to do business with people who can make a connection to my business.
You know what?
I've
got to tell you, and we're going to close the show with me telling you that's absolute nonsense. Make a connection with my business. Talk in non-vague terms. Your wife is still listening, too. How do you pin this guy down? Or maybe you don't like to, okay? I couldn't live like that. I'd be fighting all the time. What do you mean? What do you say?
Hon, you are doing great work. Thank you for hanging on and being the last audience member.
Can I say hi, Tammy? Hi, Tammy. How's it going? I came off of vacation specifically to make sure that there was one caller in to the show.
No, I
imagine
think Travis
the show
just called
me.
In. I think Travis just called in, but there's no after show. There's not enough people here. Travis, is that you?
Yeah, that's me, man. I got caught up in a call. I had to disconnect for
you
a
minute. You want to say anything to Frank?
How do we bring this to a peaceful close?
You want to say anything to Frank? Frank, do you have any last words?
Do you have an urgent hiring need at your company?
We have lots of urgent hiring needs.
I just made the connection, Frank. Let's talk.
Right. And in some respects you did. It may not have been a good enough one for me to follow up on, but in some respects you did. You at least, in your mind, you provided a good reason for me to follow up. with you.
Well,
in your
I'll
mind.
Give him that. I'll give him that.
The bottom line is if you pick up the call, there's every chance that there's a reason you should listen to who's on the other line. But I agree there's a lot of time wasters too. But I think you just have to establish rapport and establish that there's an urgent hiring need and a cooperative manager. I think that's the key.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does it have to be urgent?
Do you have anything to say before we go?
No, thanks for having me on other than that.
Thank you!